It's Friday night, Sunday night, Chaf Beis Iyar. It's the yahrzeit of the Saba Kadisha. Now, when you say Saba Kadisha, you could be referring to different tzaddikim. For example, this from Radishitz, Talmud of the Chayza from Lublin, is called the Saba Kadisha from Radishitz. Tonight's Saba Kadisha, and by many Chassiduses, they have a certain Rebbe who's called Saba Kadisha. But when you say Saba Kadisha in recent times, one of the ones which come to mind is the Saba Kadisha of Reb Shlomo Eliezer Alafandari. Now, if it doesn't sound like a Chassidish name, that's because it's not. And we speak about all Tzaddikim, Ashkenazi, Chassidish, Sfardish. This is one of the great Sfardish Tzaddikim in recent times. He lived to be approximately 120 years old, from 1820 to about 1930. Exactly not sure when he was born, but around the year 1820 to 1930, maybe 1815 to 1930. He was a Talmud Chacham of the highest caliber. He was known as a Makubal, but he wrote Shalos and Tshuvos on every topic of Torah. Very, very lengthy Shalos and Tshuvos. Many Svarim Shalos and Tshuvos. He was the Rav in Turkey, Damascus, made his way to Eretz Yisrael, lived in Sfas, and then he passed away in Yerushalayim. But the Chassidim, perhaps he's most well known because of his encounter with which tzaddik, anybody know? Minchas Elozer. Minchas Elozer, the Munkacher Rebbe, so he made a 13-day visit, uncharacteristically, to Eretz Yisrael. And this amazing journey of the Minchas Elozer to Eretz Yisrael is recorded by a close Munkacher Chassid who accompanied him. I think his name was Moshe Goldstein. And it was written in Lashon HaKodesh. But since then, recently, Art Scroll came out with an English translation of that account of those 13 days, which were written up by this man, Moshe Goldstein, who accompanied the Rebbe. I think it's called Journey to Jerusalem, something like that. And the real purpose of this visit to Eretz Yisrael was to visit the Shlomo, the Saba Kadisha. That the Minchas Elozer felt that there was a Mashiach inyan, which had to do with him meeting the Saba Kadisha. You know, similar, but of course, you can't compare the Baal Shem Tov and his journey to Eretz Yisrael to meet Or HaChaim, which never happened, because they felt that the coming of these two neshamas together would bring Mashiach, as is recorded in the writings of the Kamarna. But this was something similar to that, in that the Minchas Elozer made the journey to Eretz Yisrael. He met the Saba Kadisha, and while he was there, the Saba Kadisha passed away. So something was going on, certainly. One of the things that Moshe Goldstein does say is that when the Minchas Elozer came to meet the Saba Kadisha, he said to him, he closed the door, he says, nobody's allowed to be in when we talk about this. So one of the first things that he said was, Emasai Kosimar, when is Mashiach coming? And he heard from behind the door that the Saba Kadisha said that because of the Rishayim of the generation, so Mashiach isn't coming. So he said, all of a sudden, the Minchas Elozer got really choked up, and he says, am I one of those Rishayim who's holding back the Mashiach? He really meant it, though. His mom was all choked up about it. Am I one of the Rishayim who's holding him back? The Minchas Elozer was Gadol Hador. When he came to Yerushalayim, he was very hidden. And he tried to keep a very low key, like many Sfardish Tzaddikim and Kubalim. And he succeeded in doing so for some time. And the Rav of Yerushalayim at the time was of Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld. And he had heard about the Saba Kadisha, and he tried to catch up on him and to try to encounter him, but the Saba Kadisha had his way of avoiding everybody. And so he had an Eitzah. It says here in parentheses that, I'll probably forget to mention it, so I'll mention it, though it's a little out of context. It says that every single night, the Saba Kadisha, he would go through, he would finish three Svarim in his Shank. That every night, he would finish three Svarim. to tell you about the Ga'inus of in his limud. You know, we finished maybe like 3 pages a night. He finished like 3 svarim a night. And in his older years, we'll just point this out now. Once we're talking about it, he became blind. You can imagine he lived to be over close to 120 years old. And he had a place. He had a certain hakpada. Every sefer had to be in the exact place where he wanted it to be. And the shamashim didn't know exactly why. Why did he need it to be mamish the same? And then they realized because he in his older years where he couldn't see, he knew everything about peh, but he wouldn't be able to tell somebody, you know, if he wanted to look at a certain sefer, this and that, especially many of them, the bindings were off. He had to know exactly where the sefer was. He would say, please, you know, pull out the sefer 15th from this column, take it out, turn to the 20th page and start reading to me. No, read over here, over there. Mamash, it was a sitcha, you know, he was a boy sitcha enema abatipa. Like he didn't forget any of his limud. Mamash, such a goyim. Somebody once said to the Chabina Rav, Chabina Rav was one of the goyim in the past 100 years. Somebody once said that there are goyim in this generation, but compared to the Saba Kadisha, we're all like Tanim. That's what somebody once said to the Chabina Rav. Chabina Rav was taken aback by that because he heard about him, but he didn't realize the goyimness of the Saba Kadisha. Anyways, so Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld, who was one of the Gedolei Yisrael, Gadol Hador, he wanted to find a way to meet up with the Saba Kadisha, but to no avail. So he told the person in charge of the mikvah, who lived in the shchuna of the Saba Kadisha, that if you see an alter yid who comes here and he has a hajas panim, you make sure to stop him and to get me right away. So he had his suspicions that this was the one that the Saba Kadisha, who the Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld, so he came running in, and he encountered the Saba Kadisha. He was running in over 100. He said to him, he says, tell me who you are. Tell me who you are. And he says, no, I'm just doing this. And I, tell me who you are. Tell me who you are. So he says, I'm the Rav of this city, and as the Rav of the city, I need to know who everybody is in the city. So at that point, the instructions from the Rav, so he had to, I don't know exactly what he told him, but he had to. And he says that when Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld come and visit Saba Kadisha, he would come in like, crouching, like mamash with such hachna, with such bittul, to come see the Saba Kadisha. There was a Rav, a very well-respected Rav from Yerushalayim, who came to visit him, to visit the town when he was Rav, I think maybe back in Damascus. And he was collecting for a certain cause, a very reputable cause for Aniyim. And the Saba Kadisha gave him tremendous kavod, and he encouraged the Kehila to be machzik this tzedakah. And this Rav was a Talmid Chacham, and he would come in to listen to the drashos, and he spent a few weeks there. And during the drashas of the Saba Kadisha, so he would, if the Saba Kadisha would say like a pshat or a vart, so he would interrupt many times and he would like, you know, either argue or say his own pshat, and it was like a disturbance and wasn't very kavodic to the Saba Kadisha. So each time the Saba Kadisha would say, oh, Mamash saying good, saying good. And, you know, he everybody was very, you know, wow, it's a big Talmid Chacham, Saba Kadisha, he's agreeing to everything. Which so anyways, he collected a tremendous sum of money. And it was time to leave, and he went to say goodbye to the Rav. So the Rav asked for privacy with this Yid. And he said to him, you should know that for everything which you asked me, everything which you commented, I could have shlugged everything you set up. Everything which you said was wrong. And he went on to he remembered, he didn't forget anything. He pointed out every single thing that he had said, and he showed him how everything which he said was wrong. It was completely unfounded, and it made no sense, and a complete shlug up. So he says, why did I give you the kavod that you needed? Because it wasn't your kavod, it was the kavod for the aniyim back in. He says, if I were to answer you, then people would say, oh look, he's not such a big Talmid Chacham. But the fact that I stayed quiet and I said, oh, very good. So Mela, everybody gave you much more. So he says, you should know that the taivu which I did for you in your organization by giving you the kavod which I gave you. The Chazon Ish used to say, you know, by us, it's very common that when we greet people, even if we see them today and we see them again tomorrow, we shake hands, you know. You see somebody, shake hands. Chazon Ish was not into that. And he used to say, a Yid's hand is not Hefker. You know, just shake hands with everybody. But Chassidim, that's not really their custom, B'chlal. So The Sava Kadisha was very makbid on that, but because, mostly because of his Kedusha. But he used to also say that it's Chukas HaGoyim to shake hands. So the Goyim do that. He said it's not a Yiddish Azach. But he was very careful not to shake hands with people. I mean, some Dikkim are very careful in that because everything which they touch, they know they're Oymid on the Madrigas of that person, and they don't want to touch and to know everything and to feel everything. So once the Birchas Avram, who was the son of a Rebbe, the Beis Avram, he wanted to come visit the Sava Kadisha. And many rebbes would come to meet the Sava Kadisha. So the Sava Kadisha, he didn't want to meet him. Didn't want to meet the Beis Avram. He said, the Lashon here, and he probably said it in Lashon HaKodesh, Savati Admirim. I'm already full with meeting rebbes. I don't want to meet any more rebbes. But the Gabbai said, no, the Beis Avram, he's in Ish Kodesh, you should have to meet the Beis Avram. It's okay, tell him to come in. So he came in, the Beis Avram stuck out his hand, and he didn't want to shake his hand. He said, I'm not shaking your hand. So what happened after that, they got into a conversation. And it says here that he asked the Beis Avram, who were the Gedoilim in Chutz Laretz? So he said that the Gedoilim of Anlita is Reb Chaim Meiser, and the Gedoil of Chassidim is Reb Menachem Zemba. Maybe we'll talk about him one day, Menachem Zemba. So the Beis Avram said to the Sava Kadisha, he says, there's so many Yidden in Russia who are suffering from the Bolshekim and the right of them. And he says, we need to make a hisamtzis to go against them and to be mamid adas, make a balchama de kedusha. So the Sava Kedusha says, don't start up with them. He says, there's a very big klipa. I'm telling you, don't get involved with that klipa. Just stay away, keep the low down, and don't. So it says here, Kayadua, the Beis Avram, didn't listen to the Sava Kedusha. And he went back and he made a big machlekes against them. And a short while later, he passed away. Beis Avram passed away. But it says here that they spoke more, and the Sava Kadisha was escorting the Beis Avram out. And he said before he left, he says, Shechina medaber b'tach gerayne. The Shechina speaks from his mouth. And the Sava Kadisha grabbed both of the hands of the Beis Avram at this point. And when he first walked in, he didn't grab his hand. He had it to see him first. He grabbed both of his hands, and he said to him, now, Shalom Aleichem. As if now he was like greeting him. Shalom Aleichem. Shalom Aleichem. And he said, "An Ish Kodesh was here." That's what he said about the Beis Avram. There was a Pashat Yid who was part of the Kehila of the Sava Kadisha, and he came over to him, the Sava Kadisha, to the Pashat Yid, and he says, "It was like summertime, probably around May, June," and he said to him, "I'm starting to think in advance about Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Rosh Hashanah is going to be this year. I'm asking you to be the Baal Tekeah." He says, I barely know how to blow. He says, why are you asking me? He had a very famous Talmud Sava Kadisha. He had a few. The Stechemet was a Talmud of his. The Kiryas Arba, Rabbi Asher Zelig Margolius was a Talmud of his. These are famous people. So he said to him, what are you asking me to be the Baal Tekeah? He says, ask Rabbi Asher Zelig. He should be the Baal Tekeah. So he said, no, Rabbi Asher Zelig is a Meiron. He was very into Rashbi, Rabbi Asher Zelig. And you're the Baal Tekeah. I don't know how to blow. I don't know the kavanas. I'll teach you the kavanas. I'll teach you everything. You're going to be the batoke. Fine. So in the middle of the summer, about a month later, this Pashadiyad, he went on a trip to America. And it came his way a very big Nisayan Aveira with a certain Isha. And he says that I was about to commit the Aveira, but then I remembered that it was appointed to be the Baal Tekeah for the Sava Kadisha. And because of that, I didn't get involved in that. And then he said he realized right after that, the reason why the Sava Kadisha was involved in this Indian, already preparing the Baal Tekeah at this time, why he appointed him. He doesn't need him to be the Baal Tekeah. He says he asked him about the Tekeah because he saw Baruch HaKoy that he would be involved in this Nisayin. What would be matzal him from the Aveira would be the fact that he's the Baal Tekeah. Very interesting story. Rabbi Shaya Asher Zelig, or Galias, he said that there was a shmua that the Chafetz Chaim was coming to Eretz Yisrael. And as soon as he told that to the Sava Kadisha, he said, Lo yalev lo yavai. Like yalev yavai. Lo yalev lo yavai. He's not going to come. So a few days later, they heard that the Chafetz Chaim, he already left his house. He was baderech to Warsaw. So again, the Sabbath Kedisha heard that. He says, lo yava v'lo yada. And the news came that he was going weiter and making his way and moving closer and coming to the shores and to the boat and everything like that. Lo yavoy v'lo yale. It's not going to happen. What happened? He says that all of a sudden during this journey, the Chafetz Chaim's wife got sick and he couldn't go back. Thinking he couldn't continue and he had to go back to Radim. So Rav Esther Zelig, he asked him, he says, Rebbe, what's Ruach HaKodesh? Mamash, you knew, but the Chafetz Chaim was going to make it to Eretz Yisrael. No, it's not Ruach Kodesh. I know Mishamayim that it's been Paskin that Chafetz Chaim is going to be the Posek Achra. That the Sefer Mishnah Berurah and his Shemir Salashan and the other Svarim of the Chafetz Chaim, that's like the last Sefer which will have, you know, complete Kabbalah by world Jewry. He says, and if he comes to Eretz Yisrael, so he's going to have to visit Rav Kook. And Chafetz Chaim was an admirer of Rav Kook. He says, but if he comes to visit Rav Kook, then all the Misnagim to Rav Kook are not going to like the Chafetz Chaim. And he says that when he goes to Yosef Chaim Zonenfeld, he also has a lot of misnagdim. And the misnagdim are going to pass with the Chafetz Chaim then. He says it can't be minashamayim that he's already been niskabel as the poisek acharon, and then he's going to make his way to Eretz Yisrael and then become possible by so many yidden. So that's how he knew he's not going to make it to Eretz Yisrael. So it wasn't Ruach HaKodesh. It was B'chachma that he knew that. But it took Ruach HaKodesh to see that in minashamayim that he was the poisek acharon. That, can't get around that. He had a certain Talmud who was a Talmud Chacham who was visiting in town, and he was asked to speak, and but he was a very polished speaker and a very charismatic personality, and he was giving a shiur, and the Sabbath Kedisha was there, and he said a certain vort, and the Sabbath Kedisha says, he said something, he said, they already asked that kasha, that's not, don't everybody shouldn't be impressed by such a kasha, everybody has this, they asked that, others asked that kasha. The reason why he did that was because he saw that he was having he wasn't really a wholesome person, and he would have bad hashpah on people. So he says, "It's don't think, you know, it's so great." It says that in another sefer also. So this, the Rav said, "Okay, oh, show me where." So the Sabbath Kedisha says, "Okay, it's right over there. Just take that sefer right up there, pull it down, open it up, and you're going to see." That's exactly what I mean. Pull down the sefer, open it up. Open it up. There it is. There was the kash. So the Sabbath Kedisha said afterwards, "I mamish had no idea. I said, but I knew that there was inside of me, I had to make a macha on the Inyan because I saw how people were taking and they were going to be running after his bat hashba. So I had siyata d'shmaya that I just pointed to any sefer and I said, open it up, and he opened it up, and then right there was the kasha. We said. Sometimes the tzaddik is margish, the siyata d'shmaya that he has. He was a person who was a takif mamish, like he was very uncompromising when it came to halacha, certain inyanim in halacha especially. And he had a lot of misnagdim in that, you know, he was very harif, he was a kanoi in many things. But I'm going to skip his paid, when he had a paid on something though, it was very serious. There were many, he was very respected also by the Goyim because of his Goyness and his Chachma and his Tzura. And whenever, there's stories here about how, you know, people tried to mess with him and they didn't make it afterwards. But Al Kaponim, there's a very interesting story that Rav Motel Slonimer said, who knew him. He said that once back in Turkey, there were like these, the scientists, I don't know, what's the name of the people who study earthquakes? It's a certain name.
Geologists,
yeah. So there was a group of geologists who were talking about earthquakes and how they work and this and that. So the Sabbath Kedisha was an earshot. So he said to them, he says, you really want to know how earthquakes work? He says, because it says in Pasuk, Hamabit la'aretz vatirad. The Ibishah, he looks at the world and it makes earthquakes. And as soon as he said that, there was a huge earthquake which happened there. As soon as he said that, the oil was fine. People were, mamash couldn't believe it. As soon as the words left his mouth, it was right there, happened an earthquake. in one of his meetings which he had with a Matov Slanomer. What is it?
Seismologist.
Seismologist. Oh, that's a more precise. So they were. He wants to ask the Rav Matov Slanomer. He says, "Tell me about Chassidus. What's Chassidus? What Chassidus is Maifsim? I also make Maifsim." That's what he said. "I also make Maifsim. What's Chassidus? Maifsim. I make Maifsim." So he says, "I'll tell you a Maifis I made." So he says that once, when he was in Istanbul, there were two people who came to a Din Torah. And the Sava Kadisha Paskin in favor of one Yid and not of the other Yid. And the loser refused to respect the Psak Din. It had to do with Mamanus. And you can imagine what happened. He basically lost all of his money. Didn't listen to the Sava Kadisha. And they became very poor. And the Sava Kadisha was in charge also of the Tamcha. He was in charge of the Tztaka Kupa. And when this Yid, who had mamash lost everything and he was desperate, he came to collect money from the kupa. So although the Sabbath didn't distribute the money, but since he knew that this year was coming, he told the Gabbai, "Make sure that you give him extra. You give him extra." Because not only is he regular ani, he's a yirid min hachasav. He lost everything and you have to give him more because he had more. So this Yid knew the Sabbath Kadisha was behind it, and he was in charge. And he was mamish so misspoiled that the Sabbath Kadisha, he thought that if the Sabbath Kadisha would know, he wouldn't give him anything. But Adrabi, he actually gave him more. So afterwards, he came to the Sabbath Kadisha, and he says, "I know what you did, and because of that, I accept upon myself the Din Torah to give the money back." The Sabbath Kadisha, "If that's the case, then you're going to be matzliach." And he gave him a bracha, and he got back a huge fortune afterwards. Huge fortune afterwards. So he said to Rav Matl, he says, "So, you think Chassidus is about Maifsim? I also make Maifsim. I also make Maifsim." The biggest Maifsim, of course, of the story is that it's not that he made a Maifis that he gave him all of his money back. The Maifis was is that even though he didn't listen to his psak, and he came to the Tamchal he was in charge of, it's a Maifis in his Midos that he actually gave him more. And that was the reason why he was able to bench him to have all that bracha. That was the maifis. And that's really how it works in Chassidus too. You don't just become about maifis. When you become a maifis, when you are a maifis, like the Eben Ezra writes about the Nazir, ki yafli lindor neder Nazir, that when a person is mafli, when he becomes a pella, when he becomes an ish pella, because he's kaivish as yitzra, and he becomes a higher person in Kedusha and Tara, then he becomes about maifis, because he's a maifis, and then he can give out maifsim too. We spoke about it already, the Minchas Aluzer. There was, we'll just end with one story, and then his Ptira. So, he had a Talmud, the Kiryas Arba, Rav Yitzchak, I forget his last name. He wasn't making it financially, and he came to the Rebbe, the Sava Kadisha, to help him secure position as a Rav, based on his recommendation. So the Sava Kadisha says, "I will definitely help you." He says, "But on one condition, that the first community which accepts you as being the Rav, you have to accept it. And you can't be like, you know, choosing this one, choosing that. The first one which agrees, that's the one you have to take." So he said, "Okay, if that's what it takes, fine." So the Sabbath Kadisha in that time was living in Turkey. And all of a sudden, so the Kiryas Arba, he gets a call from the Turkish, you know, representatives that they want him to be the Rav in Turkey. So he says, "What are you talking about? The Sabbath Kadisha lives here." He says, "No, the Sabbath Kadisha recommended you to be the Rav here." So he set it up that he would have to agree to it, that he had to take it, although he didn't want to because of Sabbath Kadisha. But Sabbath Kadisha basically gave him the Rabbanis so that he could be Pashad Yid, and now he was the Rav in Turkey. That's what he did. In fact, we talked about his Goinus. It's just in closing in terms of that department. So once the Leif Simcha, the Leif Simcha, he wants to ask Rav Tzvi Yitzchak Abramowitz, who was one a Gedoylim, if by the Sfardishes, if he knew of any Gedoylim who had the same Bekiyas, the same breadth of knowledge, same Goinus as the Chida. The Chida. He said the Sabbath Kadisha was like the Chida. No, he's still comparison. The Chida, what that means. Says Ptira, in his Ptira, he says the day he died, he was completely clear. He was always lucid, even in his old age, and even though he was blind, whatever it was, He never lost his das. He was 100% there. And he had a very big inyan when it came to shaving. He couldn't be slave. If a person was clean shaven, you weren't allowed to come into his presence. He couldn't be slave lipachlal. And the day that he passed away, so he spent the whole night being oisik in the sugya, the whole night, that he was going through the sugya and in Shulchan Aruch and then in Shalas and Tshuvas, and then he asked that should be brought to him the Minchas Alozer, Shalas and Tshuvas, Minchas Alozer, Chelik Beisim, and Memches, which deals with it. And again, he passed away at the time the Minchas Alozer was there. So he asked for the Sefer, and he was being certainly handling with the whole Mashiach Inyan, with Minchas Alozer. He was dealing with this the entire night. He was dealing with the sugya of shaving, Gilu Chazaka. And then, this is all accounted for by Bishai Asher Zalim Magolius. He writes in detail. And we have his exact lashonis and what happened there. And then he says that he was going through Shas, poisking everything Baal Peh. He says, then I fell asleep, he said. I fell asleep. And then exactly at Chatzais, he started to ask me about lashonis in the Zohar Kaddish, which deal with the inyan of Gilu HaChazaken. And he was oisik the whole morning. And then he says that I helped him put on his talis. And then I helped him put on his Tilin Darashi and the Reyanutam. I read before him Parshas Kriyashma. He repeated word for word after me. And then I came to the words Hashem Elokeichem Emes. And he said, when I came to the words Emes, the Rebbe said, he says, Emes, Emes. He's crammed Emes, Emes. And he says, Dai Lo'ucho Yoyser. I can't do this anymore. I can't go any further. He took off his talis, took off his tilin. He went into his bed. And he says he had, his face was like a Malach Hashem. And he says he closed his eyes. And he says there was like a fire in the room, and he says that he passed away like that. It was like Rabbi Kiva. It's like Mamash, like Hashem Echad. He heard the words MS MS. He says, "Oh, can't anymore." Went to his bed, closed his eyes. He said that he, with a certain sweetness, he passed away. Close. He says, close to the age of 120. Imagine.